I declare the special meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the council business team after the meeting. The agenda comprises two reports from management. Apologies have been received from councillors Leppett and Wood. Given that this is a special meeting of the council in accordance with section 84(4) of the Local Government Act 1989, unless all councillors are present and unanimously agree to deal with on the matter, only the business specified in the notice is to be transacted. If any councillor has either direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. There are two reports from management for consideration in the open session. The first is the proposed 2016-17 annual plan and budget, and I'd like to ask Phu Nguyen, our Chief Financial Officer, to make a brief presentation on this item. Thank you, Phu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and through you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to present the proposed annual plan and budget for 2016-17 for approval by the Council. The proposed annual plan and budget is contained in Attachment 2 of your report, and subject to approval by Council tonight, it will be available for public comment and submissions until the 3rd of June 2016. After considering public submissions at a special Future Melbourne Committee on the 16th of June, it is expected that the Council will adopt the budget on the 28th of June 2016. The 2016 draft annual plan and budget is a financially sound and robust budget. It includes an underlying surplus of $15.4 million with a fully funded program of services of $399 million and Council Works program of $108 million with no new borrowings proposed. The underlying surplus of $15.4 million is a deliberate and measured increase in the current year's budget. On the current year's budget that will enable continued investment in infrastructure to support both the city's population growth and for funding projects such as QVM. It's worth noting that this underlying surplus has been delivered through a particular focus on containing operating costs, and in this draft budget, proposed operating costs are growing at a slower pace than revenue. On that note, I commend the recommendation contained in the report to councillors.
Thank you, Phu. Could I have a councillor to move a resolution, please?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move the resolution on the screen.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that resolution? Thank you, Councillor Ong. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I'd like to start by thanking the officers and the colleagues for the way they've worked up this year's budget. It's been a collegiate and well-considered process, and I think we've got a good outcome, a good balanced outcome with the budget before us tonight. Last year at this meeting, we only spoke for 7 minutes. It was a very brief meeting, and I do remember getting in trouble from Councillor Wood for taking up five of those 7 minutes. So Councillor Wood's not here tonight, so loss of our timekeeper means that we can probably talk a bit longer. We had a very protracted press conference today, 40 minutes I think it was, the longest one I've seen over 4 years. So we had quite a discussion, and this meeting almost feels like a compliance meeting at the end of it when you've had that budget lock-up. And intensive questioning process. So just a few points on the budget. Because it's a valuation year, I thought I'd start with that. Residents and businesses alike should be looking at the data as to how their valuations have gone, residential, non-residential. And I think to summarise it, commercial valuations are up by more than residential, but if residential, it's the highest increases in Kensington and the lowest is in Southbank. So when people think about their rate rises, in an environment where we're capped at 2.5% on the average, it's fair to say that apartment owners in Southbank potentially could even see a dollar reduction, whereas property owners in Kensington will see well above 2.5% increases on average across those suburbs. Collectively, the site value of the whole of the City of Melbourne is up from $34.3 to $41.8 billion, and the capital improved is up from $101 to $113.6. And just to highlight this point about the fact that councils are very low taxing, our revenues are $257 million this year from rates, and that's up $13 million. and the growth is split broadly equally between the 2.5% increase in the average rate and the supplementary rates from new buildings which have come online. Both of those tools have added about $6.5 million to get that $13 million increase in rates revenue. But if you trade that up, or you compare that with the $113.6 billion in capital improved value of all land in the City of Melbourne, it would take 440 years before the council would collect in rates the value of all property. That's a very, very low taxing situation here at the City of Melbourne, and contrasts starkly with the state, where land tax alone in the City of Melbourne is soaring from $280 million a year to $400 million a year just with this revaluation. Because we have cut the rate in the dollar at the City of Melbourne from close to 10 in 1996 to almost 4 cents. So that's a 60% cut in the rate in the dollar over 20 years, where as valuations have risen, we have handed that back. We've handed that valuation back and taken a lower percentage take in rates. And if you think about everything we deliver, the 100-plus services, the amount of organisations and events we support, the almost $4 billion in assets that we maintain, with this relatively low rate base, it is an impressive situation. We've had the lowest rate rises of any council in the last 15 years across the whole of Victoria, all 79 of them. We even had that famous freeze in 2012-13. In terms of the capital works side of things, we're projecting $108 million in new capital works plus a $25 million carry forward from this year. So we haven't been able to completely deliver our projected capital program for this year. So the total capital works projected budget for next year is $133 million, including that $25 million carry forward. We did have a $27 million carry forward in the previous year as well. So we do have to focus, I think, on delivering the program that we outline in the budget. And I think there has been a bit of a challenge for us actually doing that. Future capital works are projected to absolutely soar, and it's good to see the long-range projections are in there. And I'd just like to quote one statistic on page 93, that the projected spend on new buildings and building improvements over the next 4 years is projected to rise from $20 million to $26 million to $97 million to $106 million in 18-19. And 18-19 will be the first year that our capital works program is projected to top $200 million at $215 million. And that is the back end, the heavy lifting in the Queen Vic Market project particularly, but there are some other projects coming online. Overall, it's going to be great that we will finish the year with a net cash position. We have a modest net debt position at the moment, but we're going to be positive cash flow to the tune of about $23 million this year. We will finish with a very modest net cash balance, which is in stark contrast to every other level of government in Australia, at the state and federal territory level, and only the City of Sydney at the council level in Australia. Any council would be in a stronger financial position than us. Just like to briefly talk about transparency. I love the fact that the lease register is there again on pages 198 to 204. This is a very transparent process. Not many councils release their comprehensive lease register. We also did the early actions this year, which was another good initiative to give the community more time to write submissions and give us input into what actions we should have there. We have good detail on things like individual capital projects, and we have the statutory requirements that we fulfil on things like all the schedule of fees and charges and things like third-party providers of grants to us. But I just want to signal one thing to the colleagues tonight, that in the area of spending that we do on events, sponsorships and major grants, there's not a lot of information in there for the community. So how much are we spending on Melbourne Music Week and how much are we spending on Moomba and these things? There's actually not a lot of detail in the budget. And because we are quite unique in the amount of spending we do on events and activations, potentially this is something we might want to look at and make some amendments with the final budget and actually get some more detail on the tens of millions of dollars that we do spend in this area, but we're not actually breaking out at the moment. On transparency as well, looking forward to seeing the 10-year financial plan second iteration. So it's not in tonight's papers, but we will be getting it at the back end of June, and there will be more detail in that on things like the long-range capital works program. On asset sales, it's interesting. Last year we talked about, in the 10-year plan, a $57 million asset sale in the coming financial year, 16-17. I think that was potentially some early projections on things like the QVM property arrangements, and we'll have to wait to see how the outcome of the Munro tender process goes with that. But all up, I'd like to say that it's a very a solid, conservative budget. We haven't done anything silly in an election year. I think we've been disciplined. You could almost say this is a boring budget, where we're just getting ready for the big capital works pipeline ahead of us. But there will be some challenges, and I do note, for instance, that that our staff spending, for instance, at $151 million for 16-17 is actually up $6 million on what we thought it would be 12 months ago. So we have added 80 full-time equivalents over the last 12 months. We were projecting to add 13, and there's some good explanations for that. We're managing record growth, we've got new facilities coming on, adding people for QVM and things like that, but it does raise that question of how we're going to ration our resources in a rate-capped environment with higher than expected staff expenditure evident in these figures tonight, plus a very large bulging pipeline of capital. And so we will have to make some important allocations, potentially rationalise property portfolios and do different things to make all of that balance over the next 10 years without leaving a long-term legacy of debt as we embark on the very ambitious and overdue Queen Victoria Market renewal. So I guess a final comment on open space is we've got a $20 million balance at the moment in the open space reserve at the end of March. We're projecting that will rise in terms of our revenues coming in from developers from $6 million this year to $7 million next year, and we're projecting to spend $5.4 million next year. So it is good and prudent, if you like, that we've got more coming in than we're actually spending, and so we'll have a higher balance potentially at the end of the coming year, and that will leave us plenty of capacity to deliver the ambitious projects such as South Bank Boulevard and many other open space projects that we're looking at. So. All up, thanks again to the officers, particularly the CFO, Fu Nguyen, and Rob Adams on the capital side, and CEO and the Lord Mayor and all the councillors. I think it's a good, solid budget. Looking forward to hearing some submissions, potentially some transparency tweaks that we might be able to make through this submissions process, but I'm not expecting anything too major, and I hope the community respond well to what I think is a well-balanced, well-put-together budget.
Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Mayne has covered most of the areas and a lot of time spent on this rate capping and all that, which on this boring budget. I don't
Would
look
you stop
at it
calling it that.
Yeah, I don't really want to call it a boring budget. I call it a steady as she goes budget, because it is the final year of our 4-year term. It's clear that we're not doing any major new items that to announce, and the big major ones we have announced previously, which is the QVM project. And the new council after October this year can decide what new initiatives that they want to do and how much extra money they want to spend. Considering looking at our cash flows, it's good to see a positive cash flow back, because we didn't have to pay out a huge amount for a property purchase. And that means we'll be able to build up our cash reserves for future work. It's, the important thing here is, even though our revenue has increased by 4.92%, our total operating expenditure hasn't matched at 4.92. In fact, it's 3.53, which means we managed to save about 1.4%, which comes to, I guess, a value of about $4 to $5 million, which means that money could be put away into our reserves and into the QVM project, as we have stated in the past. And that's a great thing to be able to achieve in such a tight environment. I think it's important that this budget also sends a message that we should live within our means and not try to turn an election year into a budget of doing a lot of things that we probably couldn't afford to do. I think that's important. There's a little note that says that the 1,428 properties that are exempt within the City of Melbourne from rates, that is a bugbear of mine for years now, you know, and some of them are rightfully to be exempt, and there are others who are pseudo-businesses that somehow they get exemption. And I worked it out that 12.6% of the rate base comes to about roughly $30 million a year, which the city forgoes. And rather than trying to change the law per se, I think we should try to get a lot of these institutions to do more in the city of Melbourne to assist in the areas where they can and to make this even a better and more livable city. Other than that, I think it's a good budget. I thank officers for all the time they put in to bring this to us. And I thank my fellow councillors for not turning this into a drawn-out analysis paralysis. Thank you.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Oak.
Not to, bore you, Councillor Ong. No, I would, it's a huge thing to put forward a budget, and we've spent a lot of time considering the many activities and initiatives that we wanted to support and also how we were going to fund it. So I think that it's right that I speak and thank officers and colleagues as well for another process to get to the point that we're at today. And I look forward to the community, hopefully, looking at where we've decided to spend their money and where and the initiatives that we're championing. And I look forward to the meeting on the 16th of June, where hopefully we will have submissions supporting or adding initiatives or perhaps redirecting our attention. I do look forward to submissions from the community. I think it's really important that we've extended the process. We've done the work early to allow the greatest amount of time for the community to respond to our budget, and I think that's really important. And I wholeheartedly deny that it's a boring budget. We are spending large sums of money on fairly exciting projects, and whilst, it might seem that we haven't decided to, I don't know, what you're looking for, but there are some great initiatives in there in the sustainability environment portfolio, in the arts and culture portfolio, in our open space portfolio, families, young people, homelessness, disability, libraries, community. We're doing a lot in this city, and we should be proud and not see it as boring. We should actually be talking up the our budget and the things that we do.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you very much. Item 3.2 is the review of Council Plan 2013-2017. I'll get the CEO to comment briefly on any radical departures from that Council Plan. CEO can have mine.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is a statutory requirement to review the council plan each year, and as has been our recent practice, we only propose changes if there are very material things that have been put forward that are different. So in that context, no changes are proposed.
What an excellent report. So the organisation is going to do as we ask them. Can such things be? Anyway, could I have a councillor move this report, please? Councillor Mayne, a seconder, please. Councillor Mayne, do you wish to speak to it?
This is a little boring, this item, because there's been no changes. So I could talk for 10 minutes if you like, but I'm happy to move on to the seconder.
Please don't feel any compulsion to do so. Councillor Oak, in that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. That concludes the business of the special meeting. I want to thank members of the public, staff and management for their interest and attendance and declare the meeting closed at 5:49 p.m.